Hi, this is Kevin.
And Ray.
And this is Scenic City Solar Radio. Welcome back, everybody. We're on ESPN Chattanooga 95.3, and we're going to be talking today about fun things with solar. So last week, in the last episode, we talked about three different businesses. We talked about chicken farms, hotels, and gas stations. Completely different, and how solar can help all those. So this week, we're going to be quizzing our guru, Ray, with, Ray, tell us, what does all this stuff look like? How do I know if my hotel or my gas station or my friendly chicken farm has solar? What's that going to look like?
Okay, so we'll take it from, you know, the customer and Scenic City Solar have agreed on the plans. All right, and we'll use the chicken farm first. The first thing we do, especially with this chicken farm in particular, some houses will allow for solar on the roof. More often than not, it's easier to just put it in a ground mount. Okay, so you have to have some surveying done, get the composition of the soil, make sure that you can actually dig there. There's nothing underneath it that's going to get in your way, any obstructions, the density of the soil, and why. You want to know what size of pipe you want to put in the ground, how deep you have to put it in the ground, and how much concrete you have to put in the ground to make sure it stays in the ground.
That sounds really technical. I'm kind of guessing we've got somebody who can do that for us.
Definitely. Scenic City Solar. www.scenicitysolar.com, or you can call us anytime at 423-600-9500.
Fantastic. Really, you know, it's kind of weird. My yard is almost completely rock, and what's not rock is poison ivy. So yeah, definitely not the place that I mess around with too much. But what all goes into the pieces and parts beyond that ground mounting?
Right. So there's with the ground mounting. So going from the ground mount, let's just say that the ground mount is built, solar panels are on the ground mount. Okay. They get wired in a certain way depending on the use and depending on the inverter. So getting past all that, which would be a whole show in and of its own, the solar will go to a disconnect, okay, which is a DC, because from the solar panels out is usually DC power, direct current power, just like your 9-volt battery, okay, not alternating current power that comes out of a socket, okay? So that DC power will go to a disconnect, and then that goes to your inverter. That inverter then changes it to AC power, usable in any home or business today, whether it's single phase or three phase. Out from that inverter, your power will typically land either on a breaker inside your breaker panel, or will be tied into the lugs above your breaker panel in some form or fashion. This way, you actually use your solar power on site. Your machinery, your equipment, your appliances will draw power from where it always draws power, that sub panel. It'll have simply another form of power in that panel. At the top is the grid, at the bottom would be the solar. They will both feed one panel harmoniously.
Cool. So when we talk about that, in one of the past episodes, we talked about using a main panel and a sub panel. And like in this instance, for big businesses, they typically consume all the power from their solar, right?
Correct.
So they don't actually need that sub panel. So other people that would, you know, have a battery backup for an outage would use the sub panel that also would be fed by the battery in an outage.
Correct. So it can be done two ways. You can have enough battery, okay, and solar to power everything in an outage up to reason. Okay, a typical home could have, let's just say, for example, 20 kilowatt hour of battery backup and a 10 kilowatt solar array, and have that power their entire home if they were completely energy efficient, mini splits, very low draw. Okay, but typically people will install, we will install for them, a sub panel next to their main panel and pull out their critical loads, like their fridge, their freezer, their fans, their lights, their garage door, and their internet circuit. Okay, so if there is an outage, those things stay on, everything else goes off. Now that critical load panel will be built and based on a load that is sustainable by your battery and solar. Solar alone, again, solar alone could not power that sub panel. You would have to have the robust power from your battery bank to be able to supply that power.
Very cool. So we've covered a little bit more on the chicken farms. Let's talk more about one of my favorite things is this project that's moving along, which is a hotel, and they've got all kinds of cool places to put their solar panels. So again, run us through how that's going to look and how does that also work at a home as well? You know, like where you can put your panels and that kind of thing.
Right. So with the hotel specific, and whether it be a home or a business, we always do an engineering report, a structural engineering report, especially if it's going to go on a home. Okay. If it's going to go on your garage in the middle of the woods and it's an off-grid insulation, maybe not. But if it's going on any roof that people walk under, we will do a structural engineering report, which will take the total load of the solar panels, every nut and bolt that goes into making a solar array on your roof, the rail, even the screws going into your rafters. It'll take all of that into account and give the load per square foot for that roof. And it'll give us calculation with our engineers to make sure that either your truss system or your rafters, however your house is built or your business is built, whether it be concrete or steel, however it is, we'll make sure that it can handle the load of that solar array on that roof. That is where we start. So as long as that passes the inspection and the report, then we move forward with the roof install.
Fantastic. And we do all that for you. You don't have to worry about, hey, how do I find a structural engineer? How do I draw these plans and things? We come out, take a look. We get all the measurements and all that kind of good stuff. And we try to make it easy for you. We walk you through the process, tell you where it all comes from and where it goes. And again, you know, we do those free site visits. Give us a call, 423-600-9500. Go online, sceniccitysolar.com. So when we get back to the hotel having more than one solar array, because you mentioned that there's going to be some on the roof, and then we have to do the engineering for that. And you mentioned on the chicken farms where we have to do a ground mount. And this hotel that we're talking about is going to have like a split. Some of it's on the roof and some of it's on the ground. So in the electrical side, does it really matter where the panels are placed?
As long as they're all placed within a decent distance, and that's not just a decent distance, it's a coded distance from wherever the solar panels are to the inverters. Okay, because there's something called voltage drop. Over a certain distance, the voltage drops by a certain percentage. So you want to have everything within that distance. But let's just say 300 foot, okay? We're going to have one array up on the roof. That power is going to go straight down into their maintenance room. Then another array out in the parking lot, that'll go straight into that maintenance room as well. They will couple together in another panel.
Cool. So pretty much as long as they're about the same distance apart, doesn't really matter.
Right, right. It's pretty much having two systems feed one panel. So even if one is producing, you know, if for example, it's going to be 100 kilowatt total solar array, 75 of it's going on the roof, 25 on the ground. So it'll still net 100 when they both meet.
Well, that's awesome. That's, you know, what it's all about is cutting down that electric bill. And again, you know, this hotel is in that REAP zone that we keep talking about, the Rural Energy Access Program, and it's a grant. If you're in this zone, you get 50% of the total cost up to a $2 million project, which means you get up to $1 million, and it's a grant. You don't pay it back. You don't have to do anything. It's a grant. The next thing you would get would be your 30% tax credit. And again, that's in addition. So it's 30% of the $2 million total, which is just fantastic. So the last thing that we were talking about last week and different types of structures to put it on is our friendly gas stations. And I know we get calls from those folks quite often asking about where they can actually put it, because you know, some of the stores aren't the Buc-ee's, but what can they do?
Right. So we've actually had last episode, we were talking about the gas stations and how every once in a while we'll have battery added to those. So it'll help a gas station, depending on their budget, their roof space, and how their electrical is set out. But we've done battery systems with solar for a couple gas stations just for their pumps. So if there is an outage, they can still pump gas and make an income in that gas station, which is pretty neat. But to focus on their roof, so a lot of gas stations will have a TPO. That's the white membrane looking roof on there with padding or insulation or foam, depending on who's talking, underneath it. And then underneath that will be the roofing structure, the either truss or purlin. So with that, we don't penetrate the roof. That would cause a lot more leaks, of course. So what we do is we do a ballast system where it's baskets that are held down by weights that solar panels attach to. So we also, with that, every single time, do a structural engineer report with a pound per square foot based off of actually perceived weight loads based off of their structure, whether it be concrete. There's all sorts of different build outs. So sometimes we have to get in crawl spaces, take pictures. Sometimes we have to see composition if anything's rotted. We usually take the conservative approach. If there's anything that does not look right, let's find another place to put the solar.
Fantastic. And, you know, like you said, having those gas pumps on during an emergency, whether it's a power outage, major storm, you know, not that we have very many of those, but it's one of those things that the store is providing you that customer service that goes over and above. So, you know, for the mom and pop shops, this is your chance to shine well above what some of the big major brands and things will do, because you can do these things. And feel free, give us a call. It's really not that hard. Get the process started. And like we keep saying, it doesn't cost you anything. We'll come out, we'll take a look, we'll do that site survey. It costs nothing, no obligation. And we'll let you know if you're in the REAP zone, how much your baseline is of electric that you're using, and we'll get those costs for you. This way you can have a better idea of what it will take for you to install solar. And one of the things we also talk about, even though we're talking about grants and all kinds of crazy things and free money from the government, is it's still scalable. And that means you can start with a small system. Just get it started. Make sure in your mind that it works. You know, it's one of the most important things is we can see these solar panels and, you know it works. And it's one of those, it's a big difference when you actually go and see it in action. And one of the easiest things to do is start with a small system. Get a small system, and then maybe next year, year after that, you can come back and you can add those batteries. If you need more solar, we can add more solar.
Yeah, I would say 25% of our customers are repeat customers that started with solar. Stage two would be add some batteries. Stage three would maybe add some more solar to equalize, and then they're set. You know, back to the gas station thing, if you guys can probably look it up on Google Maps, but in Ducktown, Tennessee, you will see a very nice gas station with a hotel that has a 100 kilowatt solar array behind it. It also has enough batteries to keep that gas station and all of its pumps and refrigerators online throughout any outage. So that benefits that entire area. It's one of only a handful of gas stations in a 30 to 40 mile radius. So when the power goes out there, it is real bad. They stay on.
Yeah, and you know, that's an absolute major advantage for one store to be able to say, yep, our lights are on, our gas pumps are pumping, and our drinks are still cold. Because, mm-hmm. you know, unfortunately, we did have that, you know, tornado incident a few years back. And how cool would it be to have a local store that you could get those cold drinks, you could get gas for your vehicles and your chainsaws and your equipment? That is huge. And, you know, that's one of the things that we definitely, if you're even considering it, if you're not sure, call us. Absolutely call us. 423-600-9500. Extension one is sales. If somebody's not there, please leave us a message and we will get right back to you, no problem. The other option is jump online, sceniccitysolar.com. And hey, don't forget to look for that podcast and you can listen to all of our episodes that we've already done and talked about. So there's a lot of information for you. We've got more information. Please call us, talk to us. So Ray, what else can you tell us about how important it is for, especially in our listening area, some of these rural places to have that power to stay on?
So one of the biggest reasons is you're lowering your carbon footprint. You're lowering your monthly draw. You are lowering your bill for nearly ever. Not only are you able to pay this off, if you're one of the lucky few that, you know, can pay this outright without having to worry about tax credits or benefits or anything like that, just know you're saving money for a very long time.
Cool. Thanks again. This has been Kevin.
And Ray.
For Scenic City Solar Radio, join us next week on ESPN Chattanooga 95.3.